Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Into the 7 o'clock hour we go, Payne and Pendergast. Will Anderson met with the media yesterday. And
2 days ago.
2 days ago, yeah. Feels like yesterday.
I know, you're a little bit in that mode, I know, that, which is fine, because you were thinking about yesterday's Astros game. You kept saying yesterday when you meant 2 days ago, but
yeah.
People, I trust that most of our listeners are in the same mindset as usual.
Yeah. So Will Anderson met with the media on Monday, and he talked about some of his new teammates. In fact, two that are going to help him greatly on the defensive line. Let's start with, here's Will Anderson on Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, I haven't got a chance to work with him yet, but it was crazy how everything just took place because I got a chance to meet him at Pro Bowl. Come to find out, he's with the same agency. So, you know, me and him have been talking back and forth. And, man, he's a great guy. He loves ball. He doesn't want to do anything else but play football. And I know he loves cars. But having a guy like that, a vet in the room like that, who can inspire so many of us, you know, teach us so much stuff and we can learn from him. He has a lot of great tools, a lot of great ability. He has great leadership. And he just knows what it takes to be one of the greats in this league, man. So I'm very eager to learn from him, to play along beside him, and really just see how this thing goes, man. We're really excited.
I don't think that's lip service either. I think a lot of times young guys, when an old guy comes in, probably say, I can really learn from this guy. Old guy comes in and says, yeah, I'm really looking forward to mentoring this younger guy, whatever. And I think like half the time they're just saying it because that's a checkbox on a list, you know, like that feels genuine. Everything with Will Anderson feels genuine to me, but that does feel like Seth, like, okay, part of the $24 million a year that we're paying Danielle Hunter is an increased percentage chance that we get the most out of Will Anderson as well.
It's a tutelage fee?
Yes. Yeah, it's baked into it. You're getting that for free. Rust-proofing. Yeah, or floor mats.
You know who did that and it worked out pretty well? Was the Scottish. The Scottish were in the Revolutionary War. The majority of people who signed the Declaration of Independence had grown up, you know, most of them were pretty rich dudes. They had grown up with tutors who were Scottish. Remember, Scotland was, you know, had a lot of philosophical ideas about independence and democracy and whatnot.
So they
couldn't get it done over there, but they got it done in America.
I like it.
So likewise, Danielle Hunter. Some parts of the freedom took like an extra 100 years, but still, and then like another 75 years. The Danielle Hunter is like a Scottish tutor to Will Anderson. He's gonna give all these ideas. you're worried that I'm getting way too far out on a limb.
You're out over your skis right now. I love this.
I am.
If it all ends with Danielle Hunter wearing a kilt, I'm here for the analogy. That's all. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And Will Anderson, like, honestly, Will Anderson can kill as many Brits as he wants, and it's just fine. He's basically got diplomatic immunity, okay?
There you go. Yes, yes.
You want to kill a Brit, go for it. You just keep playing football.
That's right.
I think that the thing about Will is that Will will be the first to tell you that he's just getting started on actually learning how to be an NFL pass rusher.
Right.
A lot of it clicked for him midway through last year. But, man, we've seen multiple times now when people bring up, like, ESPN pass rush win rate, he wants nothing to do with it. Jason Braddock brought it up as a compliment in the press conference the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And Will basically said, like, yeah, thanks, but I don't pay attention to any of that stuff. Like, he just wants to get better and win football games. And a lot of it, like he said, at the end of the season, it comes down to sacks. Like, you can make all excuses you want about how QB pressures matter and QB hits, this and that. Will Anderson's like, no, bro, it's about sacks and production, and I'm not there yet where I want to be, so he's going to keep busting his butt to get there. And Danielle Hunter is very much a polished pass rusher who, and this is key, Danielle does an incredible job on, like, second, third, and fourth pass rush moves. A lot of times in the NFL, the majority of sacks come on second moves.
Yeah.
So it's your counters. It's how you react to a flushed quarterback, all those things. Those are the finer elements of the game that I think Danielle Hunter can be a really good asset to Will Anderson on.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait to watch these two play. And Danico Autry, too. Here's Will Anderson on Denico Autry.
He just brings a type of different juice to the team, you know, especially the position group, man. He's excited to have somebody like that in the group, somebody that can bounce around from the inside to the outside. And it just helps everybody in the room because now teams are like, well, this guy's going to line up right here. This guy's going to line up right here. This guy's going to line up right here. So they have to give an account to everybody on the D-line. So it's really exciting to have a guy like that in the room, man. He's very physical. He plays his butt off. I got a chance to watch him last year go against us. And, man, he's very disruptive. So he's another guy that I can't wait to play alongside of.
Got me excited with those scheme thoughts there, you know?
Oh, with Denico being able to move in and out and disguising
things that they're going to do and stuff like that?
I wish he had mentioned about how confusing it is to have both a Denico and a D'Amico.
he seems to be fine with it.
It's not going to be fair to me. Nobody thinks about old Sethers and how he suffers with all of this and these additions.
And there's a Nico on offense, too.
I don't want to even talk about it. Yeah. I can't. Okay. I think with Denico, you interviewed Mark Schlereth yesterday for your podcast, and we're going to play some of that tomorrow before your podcast drops.
Yeah.
But you said he was really impressed with Denico Autry.
Big time. Big time, yeah.
What was the word that he used?
He said that he made up an analytic stat on his show in Denver. He does the morning show in Denver on 104.3 The Fan, and his advanced stat that he made up was called Boo, B-O-O. Balls over opponent.
Balls over opponent. That's good. See, that's a good acronym.
Yes. Yeah. And basically
not
saying,
like the fake acronym Swarm. But yeah, that's good. Balls over opponent.
Balls over opponent. And use Denico Autry as the example, which is like this guy, he kills people. You know,
he's got he needs to carry him in a wheelbarrow.
Yes.
Basically is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. He is, man. He's got heavy hands and he like enjoys the physical part of the game. He likes There's nothing better than the feeling of like when you're a defensive lineman and you get your hands on an offensive lineman's chest and you get them to a spot where they're kind of they're on their heels and they're kind of bending over backwards at the waist to where you can do whatever you want. Oh. You can dump them on their faces. You can throw them into their buddy's knees.
Yeah.
Like any of those things. Like it's an awesome feeling. And Denico Autry has a lot of those moments. In a lot of ways, it's kind of like hitting a ball. A baseball or a golf ball in the sweet spot.
Yeah.
You almost don't even care where the ball goes after that because it feels so nice.
Feels so good.
Yeah, Denico Autry has a lot of moments where he's just treating like an offensive lineman like a cat treats a mouse.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay, I'm going to embarrass you in front of your family now. You cool with that? Oh, you're not? I don't care.
I'm going to ask of what would sound like a very basic question about Denico Autry. There's not a single person I've heard talk about this Denico Autry signing. Like, it's not the greatest thing ever. There's not a single person who I've heard when asked about Denico Autry say anything but, like, overly gushing things. Nick Caserio among them. Nick was very measured in talking about everybody they signed. And then we talk about Denico Autry, and he talks about him like we could clone him and take over the world. Bad MF-er, junkyard dog, dark alley, the whole nine yards. He's versatile. He can play inside. He can play outside.
Why
is he only a $10 million a year guy?
Because he does all those things that everybody's talking about, and there's a physicality to his game, but it's not like he has the elite athleticism or playmaking ability of a lot of the guys that are genuinely going to get paid. I think this is – I hate that I'm going to make this comparison, but I'm going to do it. If you divorce personality from it, Draymond Green is a good example, you know, of a guy that, all right – is Draymond Green your classic all-star or what have you? No, but there's a certain element of his grittiness and his ability to be versatile, especially, that he's like one of the ultimate, almost like utility basketball players. But he's such a good utility basketball player that he's elevated himself to the star status. I think like Denico Autry isn't as good relative to football, but he's that type of player.
It makes sense.
He's a genuine playmaker, but not he's not going to fill up the box score
that,
necessarily.
It makes life easier for guys around him in certain ways, probably, like Draymond does. Yeah, that's a really good analogy.
And there's a tone-setting element to it there, too, you know?
Yep, absolutely. One more from Will Anderson. This is not a new teammate, but it probably, you know, probably felt new to Will when he got on the field last year. Derek Stingley Jr. had a nice second half to the season. Here's Will Anderson on what Derek Stingley Jr. does for the guys up front.
We benefit a lot. I was telling Sting, I was like, bro, you still want me to play on your side? Because we had got the deal, and we was joking about that. And I said, bro, like, he's unbelievable, bro. And to see him work every day, to see him come in, he's quiet, he doesn't say much. But when you turn the tape on, you just see him, like, everywhere. Having a guy like that in the back, it makes our job so much easier just to go hunt, be free, and be loose. Because it's like, they throw the Stingley, they crazy. So having a guy back there like that, man, it's really a blessing.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know if I've ever heard a defensive lineman talk about being tied to a certain side cornerback. You know, like Will's talking about, you sure you still want me playing on your side? And now I got to know, like, listeners, fill me in on this. It makes sense that, it's weird that I've never thought about this before, but that, like, oh yeah, if Derek's playing on the left side and Will's playing on the left side and Will is in the quarterback's face as he's trying to throw to the right, yeah, that it's going to benefit Stingley. Well, yeah. When we saw in that one interception that they had, Will Anderson tipped the ball and Derek Stingley reacted to it. I guess that now that I'm saying it out loud, it feels weird that I haven't heard stuff like that talked about more often, but I like that Will Anderson is the one that that first said it. Yeah, like
especially since you played. You know what I mean? Like, I figured three years of playing, you would have heard something like that.
Well, there wasn't a single cornerback in the league that's like, hey, let me be sure I'm on Seth. Which side is Seth tilted to at the nose tackle right now? I want to be sure I'm on the left, okay?
Maybe, like, you would have heard it at some point. Like, overheard it.
No. Yeah, I don't. Maybe I haven't. It just didn't register.
Yeah. So that's Will Anderson. Stephon Diggs tweeted yesterday. He was looking for – Stephon Diggs was trolling for cheap meals yesterday. I don't know if he's in Houston or not right now. Have we found out yet if he's at these workouts?
No, and nobody asked at the press conference, I can't complain about because I wasn't there, obviously. So we don't know for sure. I saw footage of Danielle Hunter out doing some kind of workout on the field.
Okay.
Wearing one of the sports bras GPS trackers that they love to wear these days.
Right.
I like to think I'm an advanced, elevated guy, but there's still something a little bit where there's a disconnect sometimes when I see all these guys wearing sports bras.
Yeah.
We don't know. So he was he asking for advice for a cheat meal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's asking for cheat meal advice. And then he tweeted something which I can definitely get behind. The whole convince yourself that the healthy food is good because it's good for you is cap. He's basically
saying,
lie. Yeah, it said that healthy food is good for you is a lie. So Stephon tells me Stephon Diggs likes himself a good cheeseburger or something like that.
Yeah, do we have wait a second, though. Can you repeat the whole thing to me?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll repeat it verbatim. Here we go.
Yeah.
The whole convince yourself that the healthy food is good because it's good for you is cap.
Okay, so like saying convincing yourself that it's tasty because it's good for you. All right, I thought he was going into conspiracy theory mode or something where, Big health industry wants you to believe that Big Macs aren't good for you or something. Yeah. Then everything comes full circle all of a sudden where people are sticking up for McDonald's. Okay, so he cannot convince himself that like, oh no, this tastes good. Hey, this celery tastes awesome because it's good for me.
Right. Well, then like
he's not going to fall for nothing tastes as good as skinny.
But a minute later, he kind of goes back to the middle and says, "But I will say some of the food is not half bad." Shoulder shrug emoji.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't want to offend any of the people who like healthy food, I suppose. Make up your mind, Stephon Diggs. Jeez.
So he's not saying healthy food is cap. He's just saying that convincing yourself that it tastes good because it's healthy.
Now he's got a specific take at 2:49. This is all within 10 minutes. He was live tweeting some food yesterday, Stephon Diggs. Do you agree with him on this? The people that say turkey bacon tastes better than actual bacon are delusional? Where are you on turkey products?
I don't think they're delusional. I could see why. Depending especially, it's like sometimes it's just, I mean, sometimes you just don't want something that's loaded with fat. It hits different, And I think likewise, that's like, it's all about what you learn to like, Nobody likes coffee the first time they drink it. Nobody likes beer the first time they drink it.
Yeah.
You acquire that taste over time. So, no, I disagree with Stephon Diggs.
You do? Turkey, I agree with him on turkey bacon just because of the texture. Turkey sausage I can do. Turkey sausage is good.
I'll tell you what. I've had, because I like to try anything, and I've tried the Beyond Meat a few times.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people, if you didn't tell them that it was a veggie burger, they might actually prefer the Beyond Meat to a normal burger. It's got kind of a smoky taste to it.
Yeah,
I felt like, you know what it is? I constantly, I've gotten pretty good at grilling over the years for everything except what should be the simplest and easy thing, which is burgers.
Yeah.
I always overthink it. There's something about a Beyond Meat burger, the couple times that I've grilled it, where I'm like, well, gosh, I just nailed this thing. And all I did was just follow the instructions.
Very
but this
cookable.
Tastes this is juicy. It pops in your mouth, and it's got a slightly smoker feet. If you had told me beforehand that I was going to say that, I'd be like, you're just fooling yourself. Like, nah, I actually like it. It's pretty good.
They're not bad. I like regular burgers better, but they're not bad. I tell you the thing that's good in the Beyond Meat category, the chicken patties are very good.
Yeah.
The breaded chicken patties, they're very, very good.
This is the thing I don't like about the Beyond stuff is that, if I'm going to go veggie on something, I want it to feel like I'm eating something genuinely kind of earthy.
Yeah.
Where you look at the ingredients on the Beyond Meat stuff, and I'm like, well, this is... No, this is not.
And so just go to Beck's.
This is not me being a wannabe crunchy granola type whatsoever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Beck's.
Maybe I should just go eat an actual avocado. Okay.
We went to town at Beck's last night. It's right there next to our building. It's right there. It shares the parking lot.
It's tough. It's tough being at your place because you can smell the Beck's wafting.
The balcony. Our balcony overlooks Beck's Prime.
That is an allure. That is a siren song for your nostrils, man. There's nothing. Beck's is something different.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it. John,
I don't
frankly,
either.
I'd be in there every day for lunch.
It's tough. It's not
that
easy.
That was one of the first places that Brandy and I went. The first year we were in Houston, we went to Beck's right there on Kirby, I think.
Yep.
And it was kind of like, it was a new experience. We spent their first 5 years in Jacksonville, and it's like, okay, it's a nice, Jacksonville's an awesome place. It's really an awesome place.
I like Jacksonville.
But it's not like a real big city.
No.
You know, it's a collection of suburbs all smashed together.
Yep.
We got to Houston and there were a lot of, we felt like kids getting off the bus for the first time. And, the amount of different opportunities and things that there were, but especially on the dining side of things.
Yeah.
We're like, oh wow. And Beck's was one of them. We're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
My God. Yeah.
Yeah, man. It is a constant temptation right there. And we gave in last night, big time.
Well, it doesn't help because they can serve beer there too.
They do beer, beer and wine. They got both of them there now.
They serve wine there.
Well, just like the little bottles, you know, the bottles they can put next to all the beer bottles right there. You know, like they don't bring out. There's not a sommelier or anything like that. It's just the plastic bottles with the screw tops on it, but
yeah, right, yeah,
goes great with a burger, you know.
Yeah, Jimbo's not coming out with a towel over his forearm explaining today's offerings.
No, Brooks is the manager's name there. He's a big listener to the show, so yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brooks. I didn't realize. Okay,
that's okay. Yeah, no, I was just giving him a shout out. That's all good. It's all good. There's probably a Jimbo there as well, I'm sure. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Is Jim Crane the most popular owner, not just in this city, but in all of baseball? Someone who got up in Seth's emails yesterday has a study that seems to indicate as such.
This is a fascinating study.
We will examine next.